College Golf Talk is back. Brentley and Burko with you on a mid-morning Friday, back from the PWCC down in Palm Beach. We had a men's selection show. You were in Connecticut. And we're here. We're finally on the cusp. We know who's going where, what teams will advance, still to be determined, but it all gets going in the matter of days with the women. I mean, we were just talking before we got going, Brentley. This is like a 23-day stretch of pure chaos, and I'm not sure we'd have it any other way.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But hey, I'm glad to see that you made it out of jail. I had some very concerned coaches texting me after the selection show saying, where is Burko? There's bars on the windows behind him. He's in a solitary confinement-looking room, all white. The only thing missing was a straitjacket, but I'm glad that you made it home.
And, and I was in the trailer down there in Palm Beach. You know, sometimes we just hunker down, and that was going to be the only quiet spot for me. But it is very refreshing to know people were ready to pony up and get me out of the pokey if they so needed. So, but we're home, we're back, we're ready to roll, and. As always, appreciate you joining us. And if you saw the show, great. Thank you. And if you didn't, we're going to kind of rip through the regionals again, give our selections, and see what we can do. So we will get right into it. Athens, Georgia, the Bulldogs hosting. You've got Auburn, Illinois, Vanderbilt, BYU, Georgia at home there, top five seeds. Then Louisville, Kansas, Northwestern, College of Charleston, Rice, Southern Miss, Harvard, and Howard, the 13 teams there. Five teams from each regional site will move on to comprise the 30 at La Costa in just a few weeks. And I'll let you go first. How about that? I always feel like I jump in there and make my five. You know, I always try to get 24 of 30. I try to get 80%. Of teams that move through. I'll pick some flyers, maybe one or two hit. More than likely, they don't. But there will be a 7, an 8, a 9 that will probably get in somewhere. And there's probably going to be a 2 or 3 that just doesn't have a good week. It happens. We try to identify it. So give me your five. Get your pen and paper out so we can hopefully get you beating me in one of these things.
Pen and paper or a Word document on the laptop. I mean, this is 2026, Burko.
I know. I'll get there one day.
Yeah, this doesn't seem like the regional, as much as maybe you want to downplay or buy low on Illinois or Vanderbilt, two teams that haven't quite looked as good as maybe we thought they were in the fall. Even with that, I don't know if this is going to be the one where we see, you know, like we saw last year with 12 seed Augusta getting through. I don't know if this is the one. Kansas is probably the team that intrigues me the most outside of those five lines. I mean, they won Indiana's event, were fifth at conference. I feel like they're riding a bit of momentum and probably have a little more depth than, you know, some of the other teams kind of on those lower lines with them. One thing we can agree on, though, I'm pretty sure, is that Auburn's probably going to win handily just behind Jackson Koivin, who has won 6 of 8 events this spring, putting together one of the all-time spring semesters or semesters, really, in college golf history. I think you go back probably to Matt Hill in 2009, right? Winning eight times, including conference regionals postseason. So that's probably what you would compare it to.
You could also go back to 96, Tigers sophomore and last season at Stanford. Quick thought, I believe he won 7 of 10 events that year. Mm-hmm. You know, with the NCAA.
I think he might have won 8.
It's either 7 or 8 because he won 11 in 2 years. And I don't know why 7's jumping out. But yeah, take a look. I can't recall if he won 3 or 4 times as a freshman. But he won the championship at the honors course, shooting 80 in that final round. And we're going back. It's even testing my old memory. But I think you could now potentially compare it to that And if Jackson happened to run the table, flat out, it might just be the best season we've ever seen, period. And yeah. Yeah, so discussion.
There's some discrepancy. I mean, there's a great article that our pal David Tennyson on his Substack, Five Count Four, he kind of broke it down. There's kind of a bit of disagreement on just how many wins Tiger has. But according to Stanford's official site, 8 wins and 13 events that sophomore year. He had 3 as a freshman. But there was like a smaller match that, you know, maybe he wasn't credited for, kind of a co-victory as well. Like he shared a title a couple times, but they only counted one of them. So there's a little bit of discrepancy there, but hey, that's college golf. Hopefully we can someday get a record book that everyone can agree on. But yeah, I think Auburn, when you consider Jake Albert, who is a freshman, he's had such a great spring as well. Like Josiah Gilbert's finding a little bit more consistency. Like they're the clear favorites in this regional. And then with Illinois and Vanderbilt, I will say Illinois, great to see Max Herendeen finish 3rd at conference. He had, I think it was 5 finishes of T37 or worse this spring, which we know that's unlike him. He's a first or second team All-American type guy. He just hasn't had it. He was out of the lineup. The one event he did win this spring, he wasn't even in the lineup. He was playing as an individual. So hopefully he can find his groove for this postseason. And if he does, I think Illinois will be just fine. Vanderbilt's probably the one that concerns me a little bit more. Just behind Wells Williams, you really had kind of this whirlwind of guys not bringing it. You know, Michael Reby was so good in the fall as a freshman. Like he's been extremely up and down and more down than not this spring. Carlos Astazarian, the transfer that they had from Pacific, like he hasn't been a factor at all. He hasn't played. I mean, there's just been,
which is surprising. I got a chance to meet him at the Latinam in Peru. Great kid. And I remember talking to Scotty. He thought, you know, he might have been trying too hard in the fall, like to say, you know, I can fit in here. So I would have been a little bullish that he would have found his way in the spring, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they should be fine, right? When you consider Illinois and Vanderbilt, the last 11 years, they've only missed once combined, like getting through regionals. So they should be okay. But I would say out of all the teams in the top 5, I would probably be more concerned about Vanderbilt than any of them, just because George is at home. And gosh, Kihei Akina has been the real deal. I mean, for BYU, right? We had him on the podcast a few weeks ago during Anwal week. And I mean, I'm just super impressed. Like he's not winning everything.
Of the year,
oh,
right?
Yeah, by far.
That's,
I mean,
that's my job.
I mean, that's probably more of a runaway, in my opinion, than the player of the year, you know, just because Preston Stout and Ben James have had, you know, decent performances, even though Jackson Coyvin's going to win every single National Player of the Year award again for the second time. But yeah, freshman, I don't think it's particularly close. Winman, I guess you could say, from Oregon State, but he missed half the season. So I just think you got to give it to Kihei there. But alas, my picks, all that said, it was kind of a roundabout way of saying I'm just going to take 1 through 5. Although I'm kind of rooting for my Rice Owls. You know, they popped earlier this year at Cabo. They were 3rd in that field. They haven't been quite the same team since. They've dropped in the rankings. But if they can find that spark that they did for those few days in Mexico, maybe they can surprise. But I'm going all chalk.
I am too. I hate to do it. I'm struggling.
You want to pick Southern Miss. Come on.
Yeah, I do. I'm looking for a team in the South that could do it. I'm looking at Northwestern, but as a team from the Midwest going down to Athens. You know what? I don't feel it, so I'm not going to force it. So you and I will ride it together with the chalk. And just by chance, because again, I believe Georgia gets through. And as I mentioned on the back end of the selection show, Chris Hack's done. Bruce Hepler's done. Bruce Brockbank's done. 3 of the legends, 95 years combined at their respective schools. If it fell the wrong way for Georgia, and we don't want that, want to see Hacker in California, the swan song could be at home. He could walk up the 18th green in his right office to the roast. And call it a day. Again, I don't see that playing out, but someone brought that up to me, and you're like, I see it, and I hope it doesn't happen. All right, we all have the chalk 1 through 5 in Athens. Let's go to Bryan, Texas, Traditions Club hosted by A&M. You've got Texas, North Carolina, Tennessee, New Mexico, the Aggies, then TCU, North Carolina, Wilmington, UNLV, Colorado, Cincinnati, Chattanooga, Miami, Ohio, Texas, Rio Grande Valley, and Arkansas, Pine Bluff, the 14 teams there. What do we got? Texas, done deal. Tar Heels, quietly better than maybe we're thinking. Spent some time on the phone with Andrew DiPetetto. Sort of had that moment late March. And all right, boys, now's the time. But it's the depth at home. He believes we and others are overlooking. You know, he said back in the day when we had those teams, we threw the five out and the five ran. And the five ran really well. But he said, we've got this internal competition that's actually making the good players better. So I think they're good. Keep an eye on them. You know, I felt like the window passed and the big one did. But that could be a team if things fall into place, could make their way back into match play at La Costa. Oh, gosh, who's going to we got to flip things around, right? So I'm going to go Texas, North Carolina, Aggies at home. Put TCU in there for me. But the question is, I don't see anyone below them. I'm going to say TCU in New Mexico. I'm going to say Tennessee is going to be on the outside looking in.
All right. I mean, that wouldn't be the first time. I mean, just a few years ago, they were very highly ranked and didn't get through. Texas, I agree. Just especially on paper, I think one of the best teams in the country. Luke Potter, his reemergence this year, if you will. Like, I know he shined a little bit last year, but he's really put together kind of a really nice, solid season. And that's kind of a team that's built to win now a little bit. You know, you kind of think about, and you've mentioned this, the old North Carolina and Vanderbilt teams, and you'll certainly touch on Virginia later in this podcast, but like Texas is kind of there with Moss and Morrison and Potter all set to depart. Like, this is kind of win or
correct
win now, or maybe it could take a few more years. Maybe you go into a little bit of a reload, rebuild. So, yeah, North Carolina, look, I mean, really their only poor tournament the last handful of events was at Valspar, and that was just when everyone except for Niall Shields-Donegan failed to show up. I mean, he shoots 62 in the final round and you still finish eighth or so as a team. Like, that's just inexcusable, but he's changed the lineup a little bit, and I think he's pushed some right buttons, you know, talking about Coach DiPetetto. So I'm on them getting through. I do think Tennessee gets it done, but from there, I wouldn't be so sure about Texas A&M. I mean, they've had a good spring. They were fifth at SEC stroke play. They've turned in some good performances as a team. Wheaton Ennis has been, he's taken a big leap, I think, these last handful of months. And I'm a big, you know, always a big Aaron Pounds fan. But I wouldn't be so sure. Like, it's a big home field advantage, I know, especially that golf course and if it could blow. But, you know, there's some teams that I like behind that. You mentioned New Mexico, UNLV tied them in stroke play and then it beat them in a playoff for the Mountain West title. You know, they come in with a lot of momentum. UNC Wilmington is a team that some coaches who have seen them this year are really high on. Probably would have been more dangerous if they got sent to, you know, Athens or Bermuda Run, just staying a little bit in more familiar territory. But I think you could go all the way down to Chattanooga at 11. I mean, we don't have to look that far back to Chattanooga actually getting through regionals. And I think they won regionals that year, if I'm not mistaken, or they may have been second down there at Auburn when they got through to Greyhawk that last year. So, I mean, don't count out that team too. they're the SoCon champs for the first time in a long time, and I think they could get through as well. But I'm going to go Texas, North Carolina, Tennessee, UNLV, and give me Texas A&M, but I think it's going to be close.
All right, so give me your five again. The top three, you said.
Yeah, so the five except for New Mexico, and I'll take UNLV.
All right. I like what John Paul A. Bear's done down there in Vegas.
And then you had TCU instead of Tennessee.
Correct.
In short, okay. All right, we are.
Quick sidebar, and I didn't get it in the show. SMU didn't make it as a team, sub 500. William Sides in as an individual, one of two Mustangs there. It's always tough to be that one guy, the one individual on a non-advancing team. I think he's good enough to win the NCAA championship if you go down the next tier of players. You mentioned, you know, he's gone from like 70th to 7th, top 10 player in the world. Just sort of sidebar story, no pun intended. Keep an eye on William to see what he possibly can do.
That's a good golf course for him too, La Costa. I mean, he won the Jones Cup, Ocean Forest. It's kind of more precision than just bombing it around. Like, I'm kind of with you on that. I mean, I think Koivin's going to win by five, but, you know, other than that.
We shall see. Let's go to Columbus, the Buckeye State, Ohio State University hosting that regional. And as we mentioned on the air, and we were kind of flabbergasted a little bit, not a single team from the Midwest until you get all the way down to Illinois State at 12. Just sort of how the stars aligned and the numbers fell into place. Florida, Arizona State, Stanford, Long Beach State, Florida State, your top five. Utah, South Carolina, California, South Florida, Memphis, then Oregon, Illinois State, and Wright State. You know, you look at the Scarlet Course, it has hosted multiple NCAA championships for the men and the women. You've got a Corn Ferry Tour event. It has been a cool and wet spring in Ohio. So you can only imagine what that rough might look like. But invariably, every time you go there, it is a separator. You're going to see the better teams usually advance. So, I was texting with JC Deacon, head coach Florida. He's like, love it. Love the course. Tough. Great challenge. That's how you have to go at it. So, you know, who's going to figure out the journey from all around the country in Columbus? You know, I like Florida. I'm putting Utah in now. So that's how bullish I am on Gary Clegg's team. So Florida, Utah.
Even with Palacios.
The driver's coming around. It's coming around. You had Sergio Jimenez shoot 63 at Prairie Dunes, every green in regulation in round three, hit every par five and two. Gary Clegg told me he's like the best round of golf he's ever seen. Like, he never pitched anything. Like, he just hit the ball, flushed it, and went to the putter. Utah's getting through. And here's a real sidebar. While he wasn't in that starting five, Garrett Clegg was part of the Minnesota golf program that won the national championship in 2002 at Columbus. How about that? It would have been even better. I was old enough. I was there. All right. Florida, Utah. Give me Long Beach State after their big win. Can't do it anywhere below. Arizona State and Stanford. One of those teams might slip up, but I can't see anyone behind them. Florida, Arizona State, top four and then six.
Okay.
I'm going to say Florida State does not get through.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that the committee sent Florida here instead of Bermuda Run being closer, obviously, but I guess that decision allows Virginia to drive. But it's kind of that debate, right? Would you rather face a theoretically a host as a fifth seed, or would you rather, and this was before Ohio State finished last of the Big Ten and completely ejected from an at-large berth, but if they did make it, they would have been, gosh, an 11 seed. Would you have rather gone to Scarlet with Ohio State as an 11 seed, or would you have rather gone to like Athens or College Station with the host as a fifth?
Yeah, because their premise was Florida was the clear number two, mm-hmm. and they should be rewarded not to even deal with a host school, whether yeah. they're a 5 seed, 10 seed, playing at home. And I get that. Because if you had Ohio State at 8, 9, 10, I'm saying it's a 50-50 chance you're getting through, if not.
Yeah, because, yeah, and look, a fifth seed, I guess, my argument would be, you know, a fifth seed is supposed to get through anyways, even though that's kind of your first team out if someone behind them plays well and gets through. Yeah, I wouldn't want to face Ohio State, particularly on that golf course, as any seed, but 11 seed would be potentially or especially egregious. But yeah, I think the Gators are equipped to win this or contend. This isn't exactly kind of the territory or the region of the country where they've had a ton of success at regionals. You know, they failed as a number one seed before, but I don't think that happened. Arizona State's too well coached. I think they're too talented. To not get through on a golf course, as you said, that just rewards elite play. Stanford's been really hot. Played well at Paso Tiempo, another really hard golf course, like well designed. Like they're trending. There's some teams that are trending. Long Beach State coming off a 47 shot victory at the Big West Championship. Every player 1 through 5 finishing in the top 5 on the leaderboard. But then again, like, this is kind of uncharted territory for them, you know, having to travel all the way over here. I would imagine that they've played mostly on the West Coast this season. But I think they get through as well. Cal's the team that I'm going to put through over Florida State. I don't think Florida State behind Tyler Weaver has the type of depth that can handle a golf course like this and grasses like this. I think they're going to be out of their element a little bit. And Cal, when you look at the rankings from the first one of the spring to now, there's only two other teams that have made a higher jump than Cal. They've climbed, I believe it was, had this somewhere. Oh, they've climbed 31 spots since the start of the spring. So they got through last year. I think Michael Wilson's boys can get it done. I'm not as bullish on Utah as you. And then every other team I think has some question marks, but don't count out Oregon either. Like, they're another team that have gone from barely inside the top 100 to making regionals as one of the last at-larges. So don't count them out as well.
Speaking of Oregon, we go to Corvallis, Tristine Tree Golf Club, Oregon State hosting. Seated there, Arkansas, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Charlotte, UCLA, then Notre Dame, San Diego, Purdue, Georgia Southern, Oregon State, Liberty, Xavier, Sacramento State. So, a handful of teams making a pretty big journey. I think it's my go around here. Do I have the guts to do it? Do I have the gut? You know, I do. I'm going to start right at number 10. Oregon State will get through at home. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going Oregon State, UCLA, Arkansas, Oklahoma, how about this? I'm going to take Charlotte over Texas Tech.
All right.
I'm reaching a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not sure, but I'm saying it. I'm going with it.
Yeah, to me, I would almost put Arkansas on more of a high alert than Texas Tech.
Really?
Like, well, to me, when you look at their top three with Bresnew, Connor Graham, Tim Biedemeier, like, to me, that's this time of the year. Those guys tend to show up. So, I don't think there's
I'm stretching, but I can't just pick the chalk.
Okay. I mean, heck, you've beaten me how many times on these picks over the years? So what do I know, right? I think Arkansas, I mean, that kind of makes sense because they're the sixth team in the country and theoretically the sixth weakest of the one seeds. But I'd be a little concerned just going to Corvallis. From what I heard, it's a really tough golf course. A lot of rough, like fast greens. Maybe the, you know, all the rounds around the Blessings probably prepares you for that, but I don't know. I mean, Arkansas has been on the bubble, fighting 500 rule, like in and out for the last handful of years. Are they ready to show up, you know, on the West Coast in a place that none of those guys have ever been probably and play like a number one seed? I think it's going to be really close with them. I think if they do get through, it's going to be finishing fourth or fifth. But I'll go for now. I'll go Texas Tech, Oklahoma. Again, super well coached. I love Charlotte. I love everything about, you know, this team and the way that they responded. Like they've played in final rounds, Burko, this year with Auburn, with Virginia, and with LSU at three different tournaments. And at the Hayde against Auburn, with high winds, like tough golf course and Sawgrass Country Club, they were leading by a handful of shots with a couple holes to play. And then Justin Matthews, as you remember, hits three balls out of play on the 17th hole, makes a 10, they lose by five. Like they had the number one team in the country right now on the ropes and just didn't get it done. But you talk to Ryan Cabbage, their head coach, like they responded really well. Like you look at their results, like third, fourth, fifth, sixth, cent, but not too far out of second place in a runner-up finish in all of those events. Then they win the American Conference Championship. Daniel Boone just shot a 62. So, I mean, his musket is firing on all cylinders. And I think they're going to go west, my friend, and you know, have some success. I do like UCLA. Notre Dame, like, Jacob Modleski's been good. Maybe not great this spring. San Diego's good. Gosh, this is a really tough... I think Oregon State gets through. I'm with you. And that's interesting.
You've got to lose somebody then, because I feel like you've rattled off.
I picked like eight teams.
A lot of teams.
all right, so I'll give you my five, and then there's a cool story about Oregon State. I think everyone except for UCLA, and you know what? I'm gonna get a little aggressive here. I'm gonna leave out top seeded Arkansas. You know, maybe a little bulletin board material, and UCLA. Wow. And I'm going to say San Diego, a team that looked really good at conference, and Oregon State get through. And the thing about this Oregon State team, like they were outside of top 100 after the fall. They enter regionals as the 60th ranked team in the country. That was exactly what their head coach, John Rehorn, thought they needed or thought they could get to. And you mentioned Garrett Clegg at the top of the, or, you know, earlier in the show. Garrett Clegg and Rehorn are extremely close. You know, they're both, you know, Matt Thurman disciples. And Utah did pretty much the same thing a couple years ago. So Rehorn used that as kind of the inspiration and plotted out on a legal pad what the team needed to do, where they needed to finish to get above 500 and get inside that, you know, top 60 for an at-large bid. And they did it. And a lot of that is credit to Nguyen An Minh, the freshman who was runner-up at the U.S. Junior last summer. He only played once in the fall. He played the Williams Cup. And that was interesting because he skipped the Asia-Pacific to play that. But I think he said, look, you know, some academic visa paperwork issues like kept me from playing. Like, I want to be there for my team now that I can. And that decision, Burko, probably saved their season. If he doesn't play the Williams Cup in the fall, they probably finish at least a few spots lower. You know, that's probably good for about 10 to 12 shots. Like that could have been the difference between them, you know, maybe being in an at-large and not. So just really cool how they've responded, and wins not shot over par all spring. So this is a team that's at home. They're dangerous. my only concern would be, you know, you always say what? It's good for a shot a player per round.
Yeah, they're 12 clear.
Yeah, so.
And I'll stick to it. And I think someone actually has said the data's not far off.
Yeah, I think Justin maybe last, yeah,
three quarters of a stroke, something like that.
Yeah, but there's also the pressure, right? There's kind of that added pressure. And Rehorn was the assistant at Washington in 06 when Oklahoma State rallied past them in the final round. And he was saying, you know, they lead going into the final day. Like, they're in Bend, Oregon. Everyone from Washington decided to fly in. And they all showed up because they're like, oh, we're leading, we're going to win. And it was just too much pressure. Like, it was just, the moment was a little bit too big. And so sometimes you worry about that. But I think he's going to have them stay in a hotel, kind of simulate like this is just any other tournament, maybe not at home. But definitely knowing the golf course, especially that one. If you know the trysting trees, you're going to have success than if you don't know the trysting trees. If you know how they tryst and turn, you
whoa,
don't. Yeah.
Whoa, he's firing all everything on this Friday.
But yes, yeah, San Diego, Oregan State. Those are my two to upend. Yeah.
Love it. Let's go to Arizona, Oklahoma State, LSU, Arizona, Alabama, Duke, Clemson, San Diego State, Arkansas State, West Virginia, Florida Gulf Coast, St. Mary's, Tarleton State, North Dakota State, and Iona. Now, we said it on the show, that this used to have the match play. I remember covering one or two of those. You could have really cold mornings there. Now, it might not be, oh, dark 30, these guys are teeing off, but even in May, you never know. Something to just keep an eye on.
Something they had snow?
Yep. Correct. Great memory. Little snow. I think Raj and Sanzi had a little snowball fight potentially during that delay. Oklahoma State gets through. LSU redemption from last year. And I'm just taking, even though it's your turn, I'm just going. I like Arizona close to home. How about this? I'm going Arkansas State and West Virginia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So in place of Duke and Alabama?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, this is kind of, I don't want to say.
I feel like you're going to see some action here.
Yeah, I don't want to say weak, but I think you can look and you see a lot of quote unquote blue bloods kind of in that middle point. And, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Arizona plays this course pretty frequently. You know, it's kind of one. It was funny. I was talking to Jim Anderson, their head coach. He's like, yeah, it's like one of, you know, like 12 to 16 that we play. And it's like, wow, you guys have a lot of places you can go out to. But yeah, I tend to like them. LSU was my pick at the beginning of the fall to win it all. I'm not going to go away from that. Yeah, they got punched in the mouth a little bit at SECs, but there's been some adversity and some, you know, hurdles that, you know, Arnie and the boys have had to deal with this spring. And tell you what, it's better to have it happen at conference than to go through like they did a year ago, where you almost feel a little bit invincible, and then boom, you don't get through. You get some weather at regionals last year in Virginia, and you finish ninth. And so I think that was embarrassing enough to where they're not going to let that happen again. Oklahoma State, gosh, I mean, if Jackson Koivin isn't playing college golf, we're talking about Preston Stout maybe having, you know, one of the best seasons of all time. So they're great. Now I just got to find because I don't think Alabama is deep enough, and I don't think Duke is deep enough to get through. Clemson, I'm really kind of bummed that we hadn't seen a healthy Jackson Bird this season as a freshman, because I thought he could have been one of those guys who could have maybe did a little bit what Kihei did for BYU. San Diego State, Harry Takkis, one of the best players in the country, you know, semifinalist for the Hogan Award, on that Haskins watch list. Can he carry this team? I think San Diego State gets through.
Really? Really? I'm not sure they have enough on the backside to have it in years past.
And yeah, I mean, I could agree with you there. But again, like, name a team after the third seed that doesn't have question marks.
Arkansas State, West Virginia.
I know. Well, so West Virginia, you know, great performance on their home golf course, beating, you know, Oklahoma State and I forget Arkansas. Who else they beat there and Arkansas. But again, that's, you know, that's their home golf course. They should, and they didn't win either, too, right? And then they finished second. Yeah. So someone beat them. I'm going to go Florida Gulf Coast, kind of a homer pick. You know, obviously, Andrew Dana, friend of the program. But if we're just, you know, comparing maybe apples to apples, Florida Gulf Coast is 3-0 against West Virginia this year with a +60 stroke differential.
Whoa. Blind.
I kind of knew you'd be going after the show that you'd be going West Virginia. So I looked it up just to have a little bit of numbers to back up my pick. I'm going Florida Gulf Coast, playing on Bermuda grass. Coming off their first conference title, ASUN title in school history, I'm going to go Florida Gulf Coast as the 10 seed. And I think we get two 10s and getting through and maybe a little bit more. But yeah, I think I read off the stat toward the end of the show and I probably rushed it a bit, but 10 to 12 seeds the last, gosh, since 09, you know, 19 times those teams have gotten through. And three of those have been 12s. The majority of those obviously have been 10s, but it can happen here. It can happen a lot more than on the women's side, right? I mean, you're never going to see a 12 seed advance on the women's side, but it can happen and it has happened. But yeah, I'll go, give me Florida Gulf Coast and San Diego State over 4 and 5.
Love it. Love it. Keep us on our toes. One of those will likely come through for us. Last one, Bermuda Run. Winston-Salem, North Carolina, hosted by Wake Forest. You've got Virginia, Ole Miss, Pepperdine, Georgia Tech, Southern California, then Wake hosting at 6. Mississippi State, Little Rock, NC State, Kentucky, Houston, Richmond, Navy, Presbyterian. I look at it, and I think I'm going to end how we started. Top 5, the chalk. But if something slips, I could see NC State at 9. And Georgia Tech, I hope, I'm indifferent, but Bruce Hepler, I want to see more. I don't want to see his coaching career end at regionals, but I think it's possible. I really like USC a lot. 4 wins this year, most in the history of the program in nearly a decade. Great 1-2 punch, Jaden Dumdemaya, Jack Buchanan. Dumdemaya, player of the year in the Big Ten, lowest scoring average in the Big Ten. Mark Hankins, year 3, the king of the rebuild. I like USC there, but I'll go top 5, but watch out for NC State.
Okay. Love Virginia, obviously. Love Ole Miss, which... Gosh, I brought this up, and I'm pretty sure I said it on the podcast. I tried to go back and actually figure out where I said this, although I don't deny that I did, but saying they're a borderline top 30 team without Wasasso, I probably said it, but apparently that motivated them, and yeah, I'm not going to count them out any longer. Tom Fisher ranked top 10 in college golf now. I mean, that's been, if you're looking for most improved player this season in college golf, it's probably him. Pepperdine, like surprisingly, like maybe not surprisingly, but maybe unheraldly, like really deep. Georgia Tech.
They're good.
Georgia Tech, I don't know if you have to worry too much. They've historically been really good at getting through regionals. There might have been one year where they didn't advance as a one seed, but there's something like 85% like getting through regionals, which is among the best in the country. I think it's maybe 3rd or 4th best in the country, you know, since 89 or whenever the first regional was. So I kind of want to go chalk here. USC, like I'm on board for sure, but with Wake as a 6 seed playing as a host, again, they're not playing at Old Town Club, which if they were, like, I'd give them they'd be a shoe-in to make it. But I'm going to go Wake over USC just to be a little bit different from you, even though I do believe in USC. It just might be a little bit too far to travel. And they were, gosh, what did they – they played at Tallahassee last year in regionals, which is – I mean, just keep getting sent east. But I guess when you're in California, like, you got to go east most of the time. It just depends how far. So they kind of got a raw deal there. But, yeah, so those are my five. I forgot to say this. Charlotte, you know, while we're on the topic of getting sent all over the place, like, Charlotte's been sent west 3 times out of the last 4 years. In that fourth year, they didn't make it a couple years ago, but they've been sent to Seattle. They've been sent to San Jose. Before that, they were sent to Yale, which is, you know, might as well be thousands of miles away. And now they're heading to Corvallis. So tough break for some of these teams. But I would put USC kind of in that bucket of, gosh, like we couldn't be going to Arizona or Oregon.
All right. Pen to paper or P-stroke to Excel Word spreadsheet.
You went chalk, right? Just to double check.
Yes, I did go chalk, and
I went Wake over USC.
Yeah, it's tough, but we will circle back next week. Women's regionals, what, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Will come on back next Thursday, kind of recap it, surprises, who got through, who didn't, and then we're off and running. Any final thoughts before we start our weekend early?
Yeah, I think it's probably fair to close the show. Obviously, we lost Brian Stubbs of the Haskins Foundation last Saturday, and pretty sad time. But you know, it's kind of like it's one of those things to see the support and kind of the kind words from across the golf community, even from, you know, Annika Sorenstam, and who obviously knew Brian because he worked so, you know, closely with the Annika Award as well. But like Chris Goddard to take the time to share something, you know, dozens and dozens of coaches and from all different levels. And that was kind of the thing about Brian too, is he went to so many tournaments, and it didn't matter what tournament it was, didn't matter who you were. He wanted to show you the award and he wanted to make sure you voted. And gosh, I still kind of smile at all those, you know, years at the NCAAs where he's sitting in the media center and he's talking into his voice text saying, thank you for voting. Like, anyone who would vote, he would go find them on social media and send them a message, thank you for voting. Like, the guy, like, cared so much. He loved what he did. And, you know, I feel like all of us can only hope to have the amount of passion for what we do in our job as Brian did.
Yeah, our thoughts go out to his wife, his two children, a big part of what we do on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis. He will sorely be missed. On that note, we will wrap up College Golf Talk. For Brent Liam Burko, we will see you again next week.